I'm Kelly Stedman of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for a serious hockey fan. My name is Michael Lindbaum, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt Frederick, the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is January 30th. I'm getting behind myself for some reason. and we would normally be starting off the show with Washington Capitals game breakdowns, but we had two postponements and we only have one game to cover this week, so we'll be doing that later in the show. But joining me now, as you probably heard her giggle a little bit, we are joined by Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, who also was part of the NWHL All-Star game. And before we get to Haley, the NWHL report is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016 at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others like the late, most recently announced Kevin Smith. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And without further ado, Haley, welcome to the show. Welcome back, actually. This is your second time on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, this past weekend, you had the NWHL All-Star Game and Skills Competition. Starting off the competition, Team Falzer won the Skills Competition 4-0. Two noteworthy things was Kelly Steedman, your teammate on the Buffalo Buttes, won the Accuracy Shooting competition with just 6 shots to peg 4 targets and doing so in 17.4 seconds. And then, of course, your other teammate, Megan Bozek, won the Hardest Shot competition with a shot registering at 88 miles per hour, which is faster than any shot that I can do in any form of hockey.
Yeah, the Buttes were representing.
Now, with that said, there are a couple. Obviously, there's fastest skater and a breakaway challenge. What was the whole skills competition like for you and all the other All-Stars?
Oh, we had a blast. It was it was fun to be able to show off our skills, but the most fun was just being able to be around everybody and seeing how much fun the fans were having, and everybody was joking around and just having a lot of fun, and that was the best part.
Now, what were some of the highlights, in your opinion, of the skills competition?
I think that for the Hardest Shot, I think that was the first time there's ever been any women's Hardest Shot ever recorded, so that was cool to see that Megan was able to get that 88 miles per hour. That's a pretty hard shot there. So that was pretty cool.
What about the breakaway challenge? What was it? There was a lot of big ones that came up. Obviously, Amanda Pelkey being helped out of her equipment bag by Hillary Knight. Philippe, yeah. The name of the one goaltender for for Team Knight, she wore the cop hat and the sunglasses and had the Nerf gun.
Yeah, Jamie Leanoff, she's from the Connecticut Whale. She was cracking me up. She had sunglasses on through her cage, and she had a sheriff's hat on top of her helmet, and she was just funny. And then at one point, her and Jordan Brickner, it was Jordan Brickner's turn, they actually switched, and Leanoff went for the breakaway, and Jordan was using her blocker and her glove and her stick to save the puck, and Leanoff scored, but that was just all part of the show, I think. I think Jordan might have let her score.
Now, going on, immediately following the skills competition was the All-Star game. Yep. You played 2 periods of 4-on-4. Unfortunately for you, you're on Team Knight, You fell 5-1 to Team Falzer. However, you were able to score the lone goal for Team Knight. What was it like for you, being someone who was voted in by the fans, on top of that, to actually be able to score the lone goal for Team Knight?
I mean, it was amazing that I got voted in. We have definitely have the best fans in the league in Buffalo. So thank you for that, anybody who's listening. And, I mean, 4-4 in general is just really fun. So it was just a really good time. It was kind of hard going into the game with a 4-0 deficit, but it was fun to be out there and playing with the best girls in the league. And scoring a goal is just a plus. But overall, the whole atmosphere was amazing, and it was just a really good time.
Now, one of the things I was reading is some of the reports. Now, as people know, I've mentioned this a couple times already. I mentioned this on last weekend's episode. You know, I'm in the D.C. area. We got hit with a blizzard. When the All-Star game was going on, I was out shuffling out my car.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see anything. I was more reading reports and talking to some of the other reporters that were actually there covering the All-Star game. And one of the things I read was that apparently you and Hillary Knight were paired up together, and you two were just, you know, creating opportunity after opportunity, but you just couldn't beat Nana Fujimoto. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? What was it like being on the ice with Hillary Knight in that aspect?
We actually just decided to roll the line, so we just had 2 forwards go and 2D go. So it wasn't actually planned to go out there with her, but it was a really fun time. It was fun to play with somebody that kind of just knew where I was going to be or where she was going to be, like perfect positioning all the time. And then Nana, she was huge. She made some huge saves, some saves that you would think that were for sure goals, but Nana played really well that game.
And it should be noted that Nana Fujimoto would be the only goalie of the 4 goaltenders in the All-Star game to pitch a shutout.
Yeah, and she had a lot of shots, a lot of really grade-A opportunities for goals, and she just stood up big.
Now, obviously, with the All-Star game being in Buffalo, there's obviously a big Buttes presence to this game. Kelly Stedman scored 2 goals in the game. Devin Skeet scored another goal. You obviously had the lone goal for Team Knight. And then Kelly winning the All-Star Game MVP honors. What was it like for the Buttes as a whole doing this All-Star Game?
Yeah, it was great to be able to have the amount of Buttes that we did. I think we had 7. To be able to show everybody what we can actually do. I know that we've been having an up and down season, and I think it was really great to be able to display what we can do, because people might not think that if they just look in the standings or look at our record, but it shows that we really do have some great talent on the team, and it was great to be able to have such a showing there at that game.
And bringing that up, there were some other festivities happening throughout the weekend. Friday night, there was a dinner that happened. And Saturday, there was a Skating with the Stars event. Why don't you talk about those two events, just to give the listeners an idea of what those two events were like and what was your experience with them?
Well, it was all really a great time. It was a great weekend in general. So we went to the dinner on Friday night, and there was a silent auction, which the proceeds went to the NWHL Foundation, so that was good. It was a good time when we got to mingle with all the other teams and meet girls that we didn't know yet. And actually, after the dinner, we decided to all, a lot of us, when we hung out, and it was pretty fun. It was great to be able to have that to start off the weekend, to be able to bond a little bit before the next few days, and that was really fun. It's great to be able to host it too, because we have, you know, we had a good turnout with Buffalo fans and people that wanted to be involved. And then Saturday morning, we had a photo video shoot, which was pretty fun too. It was nothing too spectacular, but there should be some good footage up somewhere soon. I'm not sure where, but it'll be somewhere. And then Saturday night, we had the Skate with the Stars, which was a really good turnout as well. And it was fun to be able to skate with all these girls that were going to be at the game the next day, because they bought the VIP weekend package, and it was great to be able to skate out. We were out there for over 2 hours, so we got to talk to a lot of people, and it was fun to be able to inspire them.
And just one go, what was your overall take of the entire weekend from Friday night all the way up to the very end of the All-Star game? What was the biggest take that you took from it?
I mean, in terms of enjoyment and...
Just the entire atmosphere, like the from starting with the dinner and the ending with the All-Star game, just like what was that atmosphere like, and what was the biggest thing that you were able personally to take away from it all?
I mean, it was amazing. Everything was really fun. Before the weekend happened, people were asking me if I was excited, and I was like, yeah, you know, it'll be a good time. But it exceeded my expectations, and it was really great to be a part of, and I feel very fortunate that I was voted in, and it's really great.
Now, we're going to shift a little bit from the All-Star game now. We're going to go back to, you know, you mentioned that your team's having kind of an up-and-down season. This upcoming Sunday at 7 p.m., you're hosting the New York Riveters, who you actually played right before the All-Star break, and you made that huge comeback to win the game in overtime, which Breann McLaughlin earned Player of the Week honors for being the goalie to step in and carry you guys into that.
Yeah, well-deserved.
And, you know, as a result, Buffalo and New York have similar records. You're both 3-8-2 with 8 points each. However, you're in third place because you hold the tiebreaker over the Riveters.
Yep.
Going into this game against the Riveters, they're going to remember that you came back and beat them in overtime. You know, what can you expect against the Riveters this Sunday?
We've battled each other this whole season. We beat them once, then they beat us once, then we beat them once. So it's, you know, it can go either way. So we both need to bring our A games, and I think that both teams will. So it's just going to be who wants it more.
All right. And with that, Haley, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you so much for having me.
And with that, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we are going to have Kelly Stedman, who was the All-Star Game MVP, and also Haley Williams, Buffalo Buttes teammate. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans. And we are going to be doing some more NWHL All-Star Game coverage. And joining me now from Team Falzer and from the Buffalo Buttes, Kelly Stedman. Kelly, welcome back to the show. How have you been?
Thanks. I've been good. Can't complain. Super busy, but enjoying it. So, yeah, everything's good.
And with that said, one of the things that you were busy with was obviously the NWHL All-Star Game and Skills Competition. Starting off the Skills Competition, you know, your teammate Megan Bozak won the Hardest Shot Competition with a shot registering at 88 miles per hour. But then one of the other events was the Accuracy Shooting Competition, which you won with 6 shots to peg the 4 targets, doing so in 17.4 seconds. What was going through your mind when you're doing that little competition right there?
I don't know. I think in a lot of stuff like that, you know, my mind kind of just shuts off and I just try to have fun. And, I wasn't really thinking about too much, maybe hitting the targets, I guess, but a lot of that stuff is second nature, I guess now. And, I was just focused the whole time on just having a blast and making sure I was catching the passes that my teammates were giving me.
And, with that, you were part of, helping Team Falzer win the skills competition 4-0. But then going into the All-Star game, you play 2 periods of 4-on-4. You actually would open up the scoring with a breakaway goal to give Team Falzer a 1-0 lead. What was it like scoring that first goal of the All-Star game, making it how you just made history of scoring the first one in the league's history?
It was pretty cool. You know, we went, I don't know how many minutes into it I scored, but we went a good chunk of time without giving the fans too much to get excited about. So it was nice to get that first one on the board and, you know, get the crowd into it a little bit. And, yeah, I mean, it's been it's been a great season, and I've had a lot of fun just getting to play. And obviously those moments kind of make it a little more special, but you know, that whole game and skills comp, that's just for the fans and for us to just have a blast with it. So I was just focused on having a great time.
And with that, you mentioned that there wasn't much going on yet for the fans to cheer about, but when you scored, you would open up the floodgates to what would be a 5-1 victory for Team Falzer. You would score two goals. Your teammate Devin Skeet scored, Emily Field of Boston scored, and Cheyenne D'Arcangelo of Connecticut scored for Team Falzer, whereas your teammate and, you know, Team Knight player Haley Williams would score the lone goal for Team Knight. What was it like seeing a lot of these goals get scored, especially some of the celebrations like Emily Field's the grenade where everyone just kind of falls to the ice?
Yeah, that was definitely the best part of it. Just, you know, I think everybody just had such a great attitude, and we're all just having so much fun out there, being together and being with people that we might not normally play with during the year. We didn't really talk about any celebrations going into it, so I was kind of the only one that didn't really do anything crazy, but it was awesome to see, you know, everybody just have so much fun with it, and I think we got pretty creative with some of the celebrations.
Now, speaking about playing with people that you don't get to play with often, one player that you did get to play with that is normally an adversary of yours is Riveters goaltender Nana Fujimoto, who happened to be the only goalie to record a shutout during the All-Star game for the period that she played. What was it like having her on your side rather than on the opposite side?
It was awesome. She's such a good goalie, and she's super nice. Obviously, there's a little bit of a language barrier there, so we don't always understand what each other are saying. But, it was awesome to have her on our side for sure. She made some huge saves that definitely kept us in it and kept, you know, Team Knight a little frustrated. So, it was nice to have her on our side. And then, obviously, this coming Sunday, she's going to be back on the other end. So that'll be interesting. But overall, it was awesome.
So it's like an enjoy it while you can type of moment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, obviously, with you scoring two goals in the game, winning the accuracy shooting competition, you earned All-Star Game MVP honors, the first one to ever do that in NWHL. What does that mean to you to be named the MVP of the All-Star Game?
Yeah, again, it's a huge honor. You know, I'm very fortunate. I feel very lucky anytime that I get to play. And I was just happy to be there. And like I said, it was more just about having fun. I don't think any of us were too focused on, you know, scoring or getting points or anything like that. So especially in an All-Star game, there's so much talent on the ice. It really could have been anybody scoring, you know, 2-3 goals. It just so happened to be me, I guess. It's a huge honor. And I'm very, very happy and humbled that I, you know, kind of was given that honor and the opportunity to play.
All right. Now, let's shift the focus. Let's get back to talking about the Buttes now. Obviously, you're third place, 3-8-2 with 8 points, same record as the New York Riveters, who you face this upcoming Sunday. Mm-hmm. The previous Sunday before the All-Star break, you faced the Riveters, and you were able to mount a monumental comeback to defeat the Riveters in overtime. I talked a little bit about Haley about it, but I want to get your thoughts. What was that game like for you and the team coming back from a 4-1 deficit and then winning the game 6-5?
Yeah, I actually wasn't at that game. That was one of the ones that I had to miss because of commitments here with Robert Morris. But I watched it on TV with Logan Biddle, who's our other assistant coach at Robert Morris, and he's Bree McLaughlin's husband. It was crazy to watch. I think we've gotten to a point where we kind of know that no matter what the deficit is or how many goals have been scored on us, that we can come back from it. And that was just another game that we proved that. I think when Bree went back in net, you know, that was kind of a turning point, and she obviously made some huge saves that kept that game really tight. And she obviously, you know, was stellar in the shootout to get them the win. So I think that's a huge building block for us, especially going into this weekend, knowing that we just faced them and that was the result. So definitely a confidence boost. And I'm looking forward to playing them on Sunday.
And with that, now that the All-Star game has been played, you're going to go back to playing for the Buttes, obviously starting off against the Riveters. you're now in that final stretch, getting ready to go into the playoffs. What are certain things that you're hoping that the Buttes can accomplish between now and before the start of the playoffs? When you look at teams like Connecticut, who's 11-2-0, and Boston, who's 9-3-0, mm-hmm. who are just at the top, and then you're now really, it looks like you're just hitting your stride now.
Yeah, I think we've kind of said all year that, you know, we probably weren't going to be the most successful team right off the bat, but we were going to be the team that kind of learned how to work together. And I think we're one of the few teams that have a good amount of players that aren't always at practice. I know myself, Megan Duggan, Bree, a couple others. You know, we obviously don't live right in Buffalo, so it's tough for us all to you know, to get to know each other, I guess, get to know playing styles and that sort of thing. So I think we knew going into the year that we were going to be the team that peaked kind of at the end. And that's really the only part of the season that matters. So yeah, I think with these last couple games, we're really just looking to set the tone. And we have a joke going that 2016 Buttes are different Buttes. And I think we've been able to prove that so far. So yeah, just looking to bring our best efforts into these last couple games and ride it into the playoffs.
And, one last question about your game going against the Riveters this upcoming Sunday. They know they, I guess you could say, blew a big one against you guys. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting to see from the Riveters this time around?
I mean, we always know that we're going to get a tough physical game against them. I think we're pretty similar teams as far as, you know, the way we like to play and the style that we play. You know, we're not super flashy. We don't do a ton of crazy stuff, but, you know, we work hard, we battle. And I think that's why our games with them are so close and they're so much fun to play. So I think, yeah, we're just focused on making sure that we're doing everything we can to be prepared for that physical style of play. And yeah, it's definitely going to be a battle. And I think we're all looking forward to it.
And real quick, before I say thank you for coming on, I'm just going to run through standings real quick. Typical thing for the NWHL report. Standings, like I was mentioning earlier with Kelly before I let you go. First place is Connecticut Whale, 11-2-0 with 22 points. Second place, Boston Pride with a 9-3-0 record at 19 points. Third place is the Buffalo Buttes at 3-8-2 with 8 points. And fourth place is New York Riveters at 3-8-2 with 8 points. Obviously, Buffalo has the tiebreaker in between those two teams. 3:30 p.m. on 1/31, Boston Pride will be taking on the Connecticut Whale, which will be their defending the blue line game with camo jerseys, which will be up for auction later on after the game. And at 7 p.m. on January 31st is the New York Riveters at the Buffalo Buttes. And also quick NWHL news. On the 27th of January, the NWHL announced that the New York Riveters have acquired goalie Chelsea Layden from the Connecticut Whale for goalie Sinead Lundberg. This makes the first trade in NWHL history. There will be a little bit more talk about that a little bit later on, maybe next week's episode. And with that, this has been the NWHL report on the experience. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And with that, we'll be back from the break. Looking for a good time with some hard-hitting action, then come out to Joppa, Maryland for Maryland Championship Wrestling's Extreme Anniversary on February 13th at the MCW Arena. Come see special guests Matt and Jeff, the Hardy Boys, and see 9 hard-hitting matchups, including King Ryan McBride defending his MCW Heavyweight Championship against Matt Hardy. For more information or to purchase tickets to Extreme Anniversary, visit MarylandWrestling.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk. Serious hockey talk for a serious hockey fan. And real quick, we're going to do a little bit more NWHL talk. Then we're going to go right into the Caps versus Flyers. Like I said with Kelly when I had her on, the standings for the NWHL right now is in first place, the Connecticut Whale at 11-2-0 with 22 points. Second place, the Boston Pride at 9-3-0 with 19 points. Third place is the Buffalo Buttes at 3-8-2 with 8 points. And in fourth place is the New York Riveters with a 3-8-2 record with 8 points as well. Tomorrow on the 31st at 3:30 p.m., the Boston Pride will be visiting the Connecticut Whale. And at 7 p.m. tomorrow, the New York Riveters will be taking on the Buffalo Buttes, which are both rematches for the games before the All-Star break. For news around the league, On the 27th, the NWHL announced that the New York Riveters have acquired goalie Chelsea Layden from the Connecticut Whale for goalie Sinead Lundberg. This marks the first trade in NWHL history. And then yesterday, the 29th, the NWHL announced the resignation of Connecticut Whale head coach Jack Mestel. Heather Lindstedt, former head coach of the Northeastern and University of Connecticut women's hockey teams, will take over alongside assistant coach Lisa Giovanelli. This should also be noted that last month, around Christmas, the general manager of the Connecticut Whale also resigned. So one has to go, what is going on with the Connecticut Whale right now that is causing not just the GM, but also the head coach to resign from the organization? And of course, you can follow the NWHL on Twitter at NWHL underscore, or you can go to their website at www.nwhl.co for more information on the National Women's Hockey League. And now going to the 27th, the Washington Capitals took on the Philadelphia Flyers, their first game in about 8 days because of the blizzard. And of course, their last game before the All-Star break. For them, their lineup was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Brooks Lake with Mike Richards and Michael Latta. Defensive pairings were Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Nate Schmidt with the returning John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby in the net. First period started off with Tom Wilson getting called for interference at 4:48. On that power play at 4:54, Braden Schenn scored his 12th of the season from Wayne Simmons and Shane Gostisbehere. Then at 7:08, Jacob Voracek was called for embellishment on a penalty that was called on Nicholas Backstrom for holding. Then at 11:11, Ryan White scored his 5th of the season, which was unassisted. Then at 16:33, Philadelphia bench was called for too many men on the ice. Then at 19:47, Matt Niskanen was called for tripping. The end of the first period, the Flyers were up 2-0. Shots were 12-6 in favor of the Flyers. Faceoffs were even at 10 apiece. Hits were 13-10 in favor of Washington. The Flyers were 1-for-1 on the power play with their second in progress, and the Caps were 0-for-1 on the power play. This was not a great start to the game for the Caps. You can tell that having their last two games postponed due to the blizzard has affected them negatively, as the rust of not playing has shown. The Caps need to forget about this period and look at the second period as a fresh start and start playing their game. Which in the second period at 7:39, Andrei Burakovsky scored his 6th of the season from Nate Schmidt. And at 8:34, Nicholas Backstrom scored his 16th of the season from TJ Oshie and Carl Alzner, their 14th and 12th respectively. At 14:11, Braden Holtby was called for tripping, which was served by Dmitry Orlov. At 17:39, Jacob Voracek scored his 7th of the season from Claude Giroux. And then at 17:48, Braden Holtby was called for delay of game, which was served by Alex Ovechkin. Philly, going into the second intermission, was up 3-2. Shots were 18-17 in favor of the Flyers. Faceoffs were 20-16 in favor of the Flyers. Hits were 20-18 in favor of Washington. And Philly was 1-for-4 on the power play, whereas Washington was 0-for-1. This was a good period for the Caps. They came out dominating the Flyers and scored 2 goals 55 seconds apart to tie the game. Key for the third period to stay out of the penalty box and continue to play their game. And in the third period at 3:55, Andrei Burakovsky scored his 7th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov, his 34th. And then at 5:10, Alex Ovechkin was called for hooking. And then at 17:58, Matt Reed was called for hooking. The game would the third period would end in a tie, 3-3. Shots were 30 apiece. Faceoffs were 32-28 favor of Philadelphia. Hits were 26 for Philly and 29 for Washington. Philly was 1-for-5 on the power play, and the Caps were 0-for-2. Then going into overtime at 38 seconds into the overtime period, Jacob Voracek scored his 8th of the season from Shane Gostisbehere and Claude Giroux. Philly go on to win the game 4-3 with shots 32-30 in favor of Philadelphia. Faceoffs 33-28 in favor of Philadelphia. Hits were 30-26 in favor of Washington. Philly was 1-for-5 on the power play, and Washington was 0-for-2 on the power play. Overall, if you ignore the first period, this was overall a good game for the Capitals. They technically, not including the overtime, they would have won the game 3-1 with how they played in those last two periods. But the slow start killed them. Voracek was able to get a quick goal. But now it is time for the Caps to rest, lick the wounds, go into this All-Star break and just reset, get refocused, and get ready to move on to the final stretch of the regular season going into the playoffs. And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be doing NHL news and notes.
Tilted Kilt girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, and it is now time for NHL news and notes. Starting with January 23rd, the New Jersey Devils announced forward Jiri Tolusi had surgery to repair a torn ligament in his right wrist and is expected to miss 3 to 4 months. Also on the 23rd, Evgeny Malkin scored his first hat-trick of the season to help the Pittsburgh Penguins overcome a 3-1 third-period deficit and defeat the Vancouver Canucks 5-4. Also on the 23rd, the Florida Panthers scored 4 goals in the second period en route to a 5-2 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning, ending their season-high win streak at 7 games. On the 24th, Edmonton Oilers center Connor McDavid has been cleared for full contact. McDavid will participate with Bakersfield of the AHL during the NHL All-Star break, but won't play in any games. Also on the 24th, Los Angeles Kings forward Milan Lucic has been suspended for 1 game without pay for roughing Arizona Coyotes defenseman Kevin Connaughton on 1/23. Under the terms of the CBA and based on his average salary, Lucic will forfeit $32,258.06. On the 24th, Corey Crawford made 25 saves to earn his league-leading 7th shutout of the season and backs off the Chicago Blackhawks to a 2-0 win against the St. Louis Blues. Also on the 24th, Vincent LeCavalier tied the game with 12.2 seconds remaining in regulation, and Marian Hossa scored with 53.8 seconds left in overtime as the Los Angeles Kings rallied for a 3-2 win against the San Jose Sharks. That should have been Marian Gaborik, not Marian Hossa. That is a writing glitch. On the 25th, the NHL Stars of the Week ending on 1/24 were announced. First star was Semyon Varlamov, goaltender of the Colorado Avalanche. Varlamov posted a 4-0-0 record with a 0.99 goals against average and a 0.972 save percentage to lift the Colorado Avalanche into the first wildcard spot in the Western Conference. Second star was Lee Stempniak, right winger of the New Jersey Devils. Stempniak shared the league lead with 4 goals in 3 games to propel the Devils into the final wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. And third star was Brian Elliott, goalie of the St. Louis Blues. Elliott went 2-1-1 with a 1.48 goals against average and a .955 save percentage to backstop the Blues within 1 point of second place in the Central Division. On the 26th, the Florida Panthers signed center Alexander Barkov to a 6-year contract extension. The Miami Herald reports that the contract is worth $35.4 million. On the 25th, Derek Brassard factored on 5 of the New York Rangers' 6 goals to help the Rangers enter the All-Star break with points in each of their past 6 home games since December 22nd. Also on the 25th, Cam Atkinson had his first hat-trick of the season when the Columbus Blue Jackets defeated the Montreal Canadiens and improved to 5-3-1 in their past 9 home games. On the 26th, the Chicago Blackhawks extended the contract to general manager Stan Bowman for 3 years, the Chicago Blackhawks announced. Also on the 26th, Anaheim Ducks forward Sean Horkoff was suspended for 20 games without pay for violating terms of the NHLPA Performance Enhancing Substances Program. Under the terms of the CBA between the league and the players, the suspension is accompanied by mandatory referral to the NHL/NHLPA Program for Substance Abuse and Behavioral Health for evaluation and possible treatment. Based on his average salary, Horkoff will forfeit $357,526.88. On the 26th, veteran NHL forward Craig Adams, a 2-time Stanley Cup champion, announced his retirement. Adams played in over 1,000 games in the NHL between regular season and Stanley Cup playoffs. He won the Stanley Cup in 2006 with the Carolina Hurricanes and again in 2009 with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He also played for the Chicago Blackhawks. On the 26th, also Joe Thornton had 2 assists to reach the 1,300 NHL points and helped the San Jose Sharks extend their point streak to 10 games. On the 27th, Andrei Vasilevskiy made 30 saves, and Steven Stamkos scored the only goal of the game to help the Tampa Bay Lightning defeat the Toronto Maple Leafs 1-0 and close January with a 6-0 home record. On the 28th, it was announced that Alexander Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals and Jonathan Toews of the Chicago Blackhawks will both be missing the All-Star game due to a lower body injury and due to illness, respectively. Evgeny Kuznetsov of the Washington Capitals will replace Ovechkin on the Metro Division team, with New York Islanders forward John Tavares taking over as captain for the Metro Division. for James Neal, the Nashville Predators, will replace Taze on the Central Division team. Per league rules for missing the All-Star game, Ovechkin will have to miss the Capitals' first game after the All-Star break against the Florida Panthers on February 2nd. And Taze will have to miss the Blackhawks' first game after the break against the Colorado Avalanche, also on February 2nd. Pretty much, if you play before the All-Star break and then you miss the All-Star game and you're an All-Star, you get suspended one game. It's just how the league does it to guarantee that people show up. However, evidently, and this is an example that is thrown out there a lot because how this came about was Pavel Datsyuk was an All-Star, didn't want to go, was suspended a game. Nicklas Lidström was also voted put on the All-Star team, however, was injured, missed the game before the All-Star break, and was able to miss the All-Star game and then come back. So it's kind of weird, and now there's talk that maybe potentially multi-game suspension for missing the All-Star game, which, come on, it's supposed to be fun and all that stuff, but if the players don't want to do it, especially if they're in a major playoff push and it's a big star, you might need to make exceptions to that. And a lot of people consider the All-Star game a joke already, but we'll see how this weekend goes with this All-Star weekend break. And then on 1/28, Calgary Flames defenseman Dennis Wiedemann has been suspended indefinitely pending a hearing with NHL Hockey Operations on Tuesday, February 2nd, for an incident involving linesman Don Henderson during the game between the Flames and Nashville Predators in Calgary on January 27th. This will be interesting to see if anyone has seen the video footage of what happened. Wiedemann took a hit into the boards, was woozy, but then as he was skating to the bench, he just clobbers Don Henderson from behind, which was unnecessary. He could have easily just skated around him, but we'll see what happens. We'll have more on that situation when it comes out on next week's episode. And looking ahead for the Washington Capitals, on Tuesday, February 2nd, they take on the Florida Panthers at 7:30 p.m. Then on Thursday, February 4th, they take on the New York Islanders also at 7:30 p.m. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to do a special shout out to Kate Simini and Eric Wolfschlager of today's Slapshot for helping me compile up the NWHL All-Star information that I needed for this week's episode. Also, as always, I want to thank the sponsor, Till the Kilt Frederick, the Till the Kilt Pub and Eatery located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kilt Girls. For more on Till the Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at facebook.com/ExperienceHockeyTalk. I've been Mike. Thanks for listening. Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And until next time, I'll see you all on the ice.